in chapter 8. Book of Acts in chapter 8. We want to read a few verses here, beginning with verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, or Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me, should show me, teach me, open it up to me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, certain body of water, as a pool, a fountain, a spring. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you are fully persuaded,
yes,
convinced, beyond a shadow of doubt, with all your heart,
yes,
thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe, I am persuaded that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing.
Amen.
I think we see at least a couple things here concerning proper baptism. Proper baptism. What do we mean by that? Baptism with authority. Baptism that is right. Baptism that is scriptural.
Yes. Amen.
Baptism that is accepted, not by the masses, but accepted by God.
Yes.
First of all, we notice a proper subject. Our text declares to us plainly that it was a saved individual.
Amen.
He was already saved. Baptism had no part in his salvation.
Amen.
One who professes to be fully persuaded of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we read there in verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. You know, the eunuch says, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Can I be baptized? Philip responded, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. In the book of Matthew, chapter 3, in verses 6 through 8 there, we find John the Baptist coming on the scene and starting his ministry, coming out of the wilderness and preaching repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us there in that passage of Scripture that who did he baptize? Just anyone and everyone to get them saved? No, he baptized those who repented of their sins, and they were baptized, it says, and confessing their sins. That is, they confessed their sins, and so John the Baptist baptized them. Amen. Because they were repentant of their sins. Paul was on the Damascus Road in Acts the 9th chapter when he was saved. And then we find after that he met Jesus. Had already met Jesus on the Damascus Road. We find him praying. And then right after that, we find Ananias being sent to baptize him. Amen. You see. And so it was a saved individual. Secondly, I think we can see the proper mold. The proper mold. What do we mean when we say mold? Proper mold. Well, we're simply talking about the manner, the method in which they are baptized. There's three different molds today. There's sprinkling, there's pouring, and then there's immersion. Which one is proper? Well, in the Scriptures and in our text, we find that the proper one is immersion, which is what the word baptize means.
Amen.
Baptizo, which is our word baptize is a transliterated word that meaning there was not the English equivalent, and so they just made it anglicized.
Right.
Baptize. See. But the proper mode is immersion. There's no other manner. It's in keeping with the meaning of the word. There's no other method. There's no other manner in the Holy Scriptures than immersion. It's the only thing you'll find in going through the gospel, going through the word of God. The only thing you'll find is immersion.
Amen.
It's the only thing they knew. And so in verses 38 and 39, it indicates that it had to have been immersion. Why else would they have come to a large body of water? Why else would they, according to verse 38, gone down into the water if all that was necessary is to sprinkle a few drops on a person's head? There would have been no need to gone down into the water. And then verse 39 says, and when they were come up out of
Amen.
The water. There was the going down into. In the book of Matthew in chapter 3, we find Jesus going to John the Baptist to be baptized of him. And there, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Why did he get into the water if all that was necessary was to sprinkle a load of water or pour a load of water on his head? Would have been no need to go down into the water. And so you wouldn't have found him coming up out of the water. They didn't know anything else but immersion.
Amen.
You see. And so, John the Baptist in the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 23, said in John also, that is, in the verses preceding that, Jesus and his disciples had come to an area and were baptizing. And then the verse 23 said, and John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem because there was much water there. Now, I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of people you could sprinkle with a 16-ounce glass of water, but I imagine you could probably get nearly 1,000 people sprinkled with that amount of water. So why did John need much water if it wasn't immersion? Because there had to be enough water for him to fully submerge him,
amen,
plunge him, dip him under the water. So then we come to the proper design. Or this might be known as the proper purpose. What is the purpose then in water baptism and immersion? Well, it is symbolic. It's symbolic. It is figurative. It pictures, it identifies with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how does that identify with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it identifies with his death, with his burial, and with his resurrection. Think about a burial. If an individual dies, is the state or the government, or would you consider them buried if you went out here and you sprinkled a little dirt across the top of them? Or if you got a cup full of dirt and poured it on them, would you consider that buried? No, they're not considered buried until they're, we say, 6 foot under the ground today. That is, so they're completely covered, you see, with dirt. And so it is with water. Romans, the 6th chapter, describes this very well for us. Romans chapter 6 shows us the figure, the likeness, that it is symbolic. And Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 5 said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized," that is, all of us that were baptized, a certain number of us, all that were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Just told you. It was the likeness, it was the figure, it was the picture of identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death.
Amen.
Therefore, we are buried because there's a death. We're buried with him. Did they bury Christ? Sure. They placed him in a tomb. That was considered burial in that day. They disposed of the body properly in that day. It was totally encased in that tomb. And furthermore, it was sealed.
Amen.
You see. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, mm-hmm, in the likeness of his death, planted together, plunged into the ground, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, in verse 12, we have this statement. It says, "Buried with him in baptism." You see, baptism pictures a burial. And you can't picture that with sprinkling or with pouring. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead." So, we need to have the proper subject, one who's already saved, one who's already born again.
Yes.
They put their full confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins. Then we need the proper mold, proper manner, proper method, which is immersion.
Amen.
And then the proper design. It's simply a picture only, of the individual being baptized, of their identity with the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically in His death, burial, and resurrection. Coming forth up out of the water signifies being resurrected unto newness of life. And then fourthly and lastly, the proper administrator.
Amen.
Proper administrator. And this point is just as important as the other three points.
Amen.
It's just as important as having a proper subject. It's just as important as having a proper mold. It's just as important as having the proper design, the proper administrator. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? We've been studying that lately. There's one Lord, verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. This makes it clear to us in this verse that there's only one kind of baptism to be administered and considered scriptural. It was committed. Paul in Ephesians 4 is talking to the church at Ephesus. It was committed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stated that his church was to be the administrator of it. No one else. His church, his kind of church, was to be the administrator. And that the authority rested in God. He said, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It rests in God. The authority rests in Him. And He designates His church as the administrator of that. We see that in the principle taught in to us in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world, teaching them to observe, go into all the world and teach, baptize, and teaching them the all things whatsoever I've commanded. Church, go and preach the gospel, baptize those that are saved, and then continue teaching them the all things from the Word of God.
Amen.
How important was this to have a proper administrator? Jesus walked 60 miles before starting His ministry to be baptized by the one who at that time had authority from God to administer baptism. That was John the Baptist. He was sent of God. And he was sent of God with a purpose and a mission to prepare a people for the Lord. Jesus told John when John said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and Jesus said, not so. He said, for it suffer us to do so now, because thus to fulfill all righteousness.
Yes.
Not the act itself, it's what the act was portraying. Jesus was looking forward in his baptism to his death, burial, and resurrection. And it must be necessary that he portrayed that in baptism and being baptized by one sent from God. Because he was going to then begin, and we find him in the fourth chapter then, beginning to call his apostles, of whom he organized his church.
Amen.
And he gave unto them the right to administer the ordinance of baptism to those who were saved. So, Dimitri has come professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and upon that profession of faith, we baptize thee, Dimitri, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we got him all right.
Amen.
Every square inch.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Brother Ron, if you got a song to lead in while we get ready, and then we'll come out and the church can give him the right hand of fellowship.
I think we can find the song. Let's start with number 18, okay?
Yeah, okay. Perfect. You got your towel?
Yes.
Yeah. You can change in there, or you can change here if you want.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. This might be what Demetrius could sing, right? Number 18.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts and fear arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim, higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has called the joyful sound, the song of saints, higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
I want
want to live above the world. Is that our goal? Do we think about that from time to time through the day? I walk a lot. And in the walking, why, sometimes I think about those kinds of things. I want to live, I want to walk in the neighborhood, I want to live above the world. Satan's darts are hurled. Faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints.